And when you finish one of these things and you get it all filled in, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. And you can keep a track on it. I keep these things. I put them in my drawer because I'm proud of them. I got the whole thing done. And if you can get this done, I mean, this is great. It's a great accomplishment. Reward yourself. Buy yourself something. You know, I bought myself a motorcycle. And you...
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. If you've ever struggled finding time to have daily devotions, today Pastor Wayne is going to show you how you can make your time of devotion something that you really look forward to each day. And when you do, it'll revolutionize your walk with the Lord. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, Developing Ears That Can Hear.
Would you write a number three? Living without regrets requires a daily time at his feet. Living without regrets requires a daily time at his feet because spiritual maturity comes in layers. You watch great athletes and musicians. Although they're about many things, every day they do certain things again and again and again and again. Great athletes will do certain regimens, whatever that exercise is, and they'll do that every single day. But the most classic example would be that of musicians or great concert pianists. The best of the best. Funny, they do the same things, whether it's beginning classical pianists, intermediate, but especially the best of the best, world class, they do certain things every single day, over and over and over again. What do you think great pianists do every day? They practice scales. Scales. Na 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 na. Do re mi fa sol la ti do. Do re mi fa sol la ti do. And again, again. Major scales, minor scales, Aeolian scales, Locrian scales. So many different types of scales. Again and again and again and again and again. Why? When they play in concert in public, do they open up the music and it's scales? Glorious scales. No. It's a Brahms concerto or Chopin or a Bach or whatever it might be, a Wagner. And when they play that, that's not scales. But watch this. If they have not been practicing scales, because scales give you dexterity of fingers and the movement and the different voicings that your fingers have to move in, it teaches you all of that. And then it moves you with speed and more and greater accuracy. And if you have not been doing scales, so it's just kind of a no-brainer. If you haven't been doing scales, you'll open up this score and you look at it and you'll go, wow, there's choke black dots on this pepper. And some of those black dots are real close. That's right, because there's 16ths and 30 seconds and you've got to do some pretty fast arpeggio runs. But if you haven't been doing scales, what should have been easy is very difficult. You go, oh, that one, well, my finger has to go over there for that. Oh, no can. But you see, if you've been playing scales, you just play that. It's not that hard. You can do that. Scales. Devotions, it's like the scales of the Christian. And you see, I know when people have not been doing their scales because there's an assignment that God will give to you and you look at it and you go, man, that's so hard. I can't do that. Someone else will look at it and say, it's not that hard. Oh, yeah, it's hard. You don't know. Well, it may not, but I do. Well, it's so hard, easy for you. How come? Because I do scales. And if you're doing scales, what would have been difficult is no longer difficult. Because often the measure of difficulty lies not in the assignment, but in the heart of the one to whom it was assigned. It was Paderewski, the great classic pianist, one of the best of all times. He practiced scales 3 hours a day. And his coach watched him. And one day he said this, when people said, why do you have to play scales every day? This is what he said. If I miss playing scales one day and I play in public, I know it. I know I missed one day. If I miss scales 2 days and I play in public, my coach notices it. And if I miss playing scales for 3 days, and I play in public, the world knows it. See, that's the scales of the Christian. And the assignment that God gives to you and to me, will be diminishing in its measure of difficulty because you and I have been faithful in our daily time before the feet of the Lord, listening to His Word. Because spiritual maturity comes in layers. Establish your life priorities, mix it with something you enjoy, and then begin to do it on a daily basis. Well, you say, okay, well, how do you do these devotions on a daily basis? Here it is. Bring five things with you when you do devotions. Here it is. Bring five things with you. Are you ready? Write them down. Number one, bring the Bible. I know it's a tough one, but bring the Bible. Yes. Yes. And as wonderful as books and devotions are and magazines and daily bread, those are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But start with the Bible. All right? The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Thank you very much. Bring the Bible. Why do I want to bring the Bible? Let's read what 2 Timothy 3:16 says in the New Living Testament. Go. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. That's why. Because it's the way God speaks to us most predominantly. And if you take that core value way of the way God speaks, put it aside, you're going to hear weird things from rock formations and clouds and cheeseburgers and grilled cheese sandwiches. But if that's your primary way, it'll straighten you out and tell you what's right and wrong. That is the most important way. Before we talk about any other way, that is the most primary way. And we've got to sit daily at His feet. So bring the Bible. The second thing, bring a pen. Yep, that's right. Bring a pen. P-E-N. That's the pen for me. Bring a pen. He say, what do you bring a pen for? When you read the Bible, I want you to mark it up. The Bible is holy. You better not deface the Bible. You put it on your coffee table and leave it there. Because it's holy. And when the Bible is there, the devil can't come in your house. There's a Bible. That's right. The devil comes in. Boo. Boo, boo. No. The Bible is not some magic potion. It is not a rabbit's foot. No. It is the Word of God. Now, I'm about to say something that you may disagree with at first, but listen carefully. This is not holy. This is ink on paper. Let me tell you what is holy to God. What you get off the ink and paper and put into your heart, that transfer is called holy to God. That's what He'll inspire. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to life. And when I take it off the ink and paper and put it into my heart, God says, I will breathe it to life. I'll breathe it to your soul. I'll make it the very part of your life. I'll weave it into the very fabric of who you are, and I'll change you from glory to glory into my image. It was C.T. Studd, the preacher of yesteryear, 1 o'clock in the morning by candlelight, was flipping through his Bible like this. And one of his partners looked up from under the covers and he said, Pastor, what are you doing in the night in the candle flipping through the Bible? You really want to know? Yes, sir. What are you doing? He said, something wrong in my heart. Something wrong in my soul. I don't know what it is. It's bugging me, and I don't know what it is. But it's in here somewhere. You see, when you underline something in the Bible, it's like this. How many of you would agree with me that sometimes you're reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit causes a scripture to jump out at you? Isn't that right? See, when that happens, I take my pen, and you know what I'm doing? I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you just said that to me. Oh, you're highlighting that to me, aren't you? I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to part. Sometimes I actually date it. On this day, the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. This must be what my life is all about. I circle it. I star it. I asterisk it. I highlight it. because what I'm going to do is I'm going to do everything I can to get stuff out of here and transfer it to my soul. That's when inspiration takes place. And that's when it comes to life. If it's sitting on your coffee table, it's dead. But when you bring it to your eyes and drink it in, the Holy Spirit breathes it and inspires it into life. Bring a pen. And then the third thing, not only your Bible and your pen, but number three, a reading plan. A reading plan. Because if you don't follow a reading plan, you're just going to read your favorite parts of the Bible. Isn't that right? You're going to read about Psalms and Proverbs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Psalms, Proverbs, Proverbs, Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Psalms. After a while, it's just like, that's all you know. And you don't have a circumspect view of the Word of God. So you have this weird look of who God is. And you have these strange viewpoints. So in order to help you read through the whole Bible to get a circumspect view, read with a reading plan. And voila, it's right in your bulletin. Oh, amazing, no? And you follow this, and what this reading plan does is it helps you to go through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. And if you're an average reader, this will take you about 20 minutes to read. If you're slower like me, 30 minutes or so, but no more than 30 minutes. So it's not that long, and it'll help you to go through it and read it slowly, read it for comprehension. And then you just go through it, and this will help you to get a wonderful, wonderful scan of the Bible. If you don't read with a reading plan, all you're going to do is read, like I said, Psalms and Proverbs and etc. And you know who the loneliest people in the Bible will be? The minor prophets. You will never visit Habakkuk, Obadiah, Nahum. You'll never even know who those guys are. Jonah's back there. Zechariah, Zephaniah. Who? Zephaniah. All these guys are back there. And the loneliest guys, they're all old guys. Nobody comes to our house. I'm sick and tired of David. David this and David that. But when you get one of these, it's like a roadmap. It takes you around the back streets to all of these wonderful people's homes that have a wonderful setting for you, and you'll get some of the most major messages from the minor prophets. You will make them so happy, so happy. So read. And here's our old one. If you can take a look at this and you can see this, this is all marked up. And when you finish one of these things and you get it all filled in, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. And you can keep a track on it. I keep these things. I put them in my drawer because I'm proud of them. I got the whole thing done. There are a couple of little niho ole pukas in here, but for the most part. And if you can get this done, I mean, this is great. It's a great accomplishment. Reward yourself. Buy yourself something. And I bought myself a motorcycle. And you do something with that. So a reading plan. And then number four, a journal. Journal. And we have them available in our bookstore. If you don't have one, please get one. It's set up for you. It's called a Life Journal. And it'll be this is the best discipline that I have ever established in my life. Bar none, this Life Journal. It's all about life so that you live what you believe. Here it is. And you write down what God is saying. You write it down and it helps you immensely. There's going to be a scripture that the Holy Spirit highlights out of the three or four chapters. Choose one, the most important one. And you say, whew, this one really speaks to me. And you write about it. You write it down. For example, a few weeks ago, we were in Deuteronomy. And here's a journal entry. It says this, Deuteronomy 28:47. Because you did not serve the Lord with a joyful and a glad heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore you will serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send to you in hunger and in thirst. And I write, God doesn't want me just to serve Him, does He? No. You see, it's the motives behind my serving that catches His attention. You see, I can serve out of fear of retaliation. I can serve for desire to be applauded. I can serve to be noticed, rewarded, given credit, or even granted notoriety. But here God says, I don't want you to serve me. I want you to serve me with a joyful and a glad heart. It is the motive and the heart behind what I do that makes what I do life-giving. It is not for the want of anything. It is simply for the joy of serving. And the takeaway is that the joy I have now in my heart for having served is the greatest treasure of all. I wonder, I write, I wonder if I don't have that correct motive, the Lord will say that when I serve, it's sort of like serving my enemies in hunger and thirst. I think what he's saying is this, that if my motives are wrong in serving, then I can serve, but when I'm done, it'll leave me hungry and spiritually thirsty still. Because serving is designed to fill my heart. But if my motives are wrong, I'll go away empty, tired, depleted, burnt out, and mad that others didn't help me more. I think we do that a lot. And I have to change not serving, but the heart with which I serve. My prayer is this, Father, please seal to my heart this what I just learned, so that I might be a true servant. And help me to serve with a joyful heart, for indeed the joy of the Lord will be my strength. So that's a lesson that I learned. And then I turn to the front and it has a table of contents and it looks sort of like this. After I insert or after I write an entry, after I do that, then I title it and I write it in this building table of contents so that after the entry, I write it here. Now, in 3 or 4 months when this is full, if you want to know what the Lord has spoken to me, I turn to one page and I can find it in about 4 seconds. Everything that the Lord says will come back to me. In fact, 95% of all the messages you hear somehow come out of my journals by sitting at His feet, listening to His instruction, and the wisdom that I'll gain from somebody else's experiences in Deuteronomy, we then place it on a platter, we serve it to the people, we gain wisdom from the Scriptures. And we grow as a people of God so that our seasons will be fruitful and not barren. And so that's the journal. Now, some people say, Wayne, I read, but I don't take notes. Do you need to take notes? No, but yes. Well, why? Because tests are coming. Now, what do you mean? Well, you see, if we're taking a physics class and I'm taking profuse notes and you're not taking any, and you look at me and say, what are you taking notes for? I don't have to take notes. I just listen to the teacher. Mm-hmm, that's good. I attend class. Mm-hmm. So why are you taking notes? Because when the tests come, and mark my words, they will, which one of us do you think will do better? And you see, the same is true with us. The tests will come, but as you're distilling God's Scripture and Word and writing it down and starting to pour into your heart layer by layer, layer by layer, when the tests come, I will be able to remember so much more what the Holy Spirit has told me, and I'll be able to connect the dots and navigate my way through. And so please do pick up a journal and begin doing it so that you can start to live what you believe. Did you know that in Deuteronomy, God required it of kings that they write and read the law daily? And if God required it of kings, I think it should be required of kings' kids. Let's read what it says in Deuteronomy. Go. When he sits on the throne as king, he must copy these laws on a scroll for himself and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of this law. Here it is. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming... Ooh. So bring a journal. And then number 5, bring a planner. A planner. For what? Inevitably, as you're reading the Bible, all kinds of thoughts will come into your head of stuff you have to do in that day. You'll be reading the Bible. You'll be saying, you know, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So, oh, I got to buy rice for my wife. Oh, she said, don't come home without rice. Don't come home. Okay, rice. Okay, rice. And you start reading and journaling. I got to call Joe. Okay, Joe Rice. Okay, all right. And you read some more and you're journaling. Oh, I got to pay that bill. Oh, yeah, pay bill Joe Rice. And you're reading. And when you're done, you don't remember a thing the Holy Spirit told you because you're always trying to remember, right? Pay bill Joe Rice. You're trying to remember those things. But if you have a planner, and even if it's a little notebook piece of paper or a napkin, as soon as that comes into your mind, get rice, get it out of your head, put it on that piece of paper, get rice for wife or don't come home. and exclamation point. That get it out of your head, get it on a piece of paper, get back to the reading of God's word. And then as it comes, another one comes, boop, and you put it there, write it down, and get it out of your head, and then you read again. So when it's done, you will have received a wonderful gem from the ages that you deposit into your heart, and guess what? All those gnarly errands are waiting patiently for your reply. So bring a planner. And then as a bonus, would you write down the word, bring soap, S-O-A-P. Yeah, not because you have a funny aroma. No, no, you bring soap. Why? Because that's an acrostic that when you are doing your journal, you keep that acrostic in mind because S stands for scripture. Of all of the scriptures you read, one will come to bear upon you as a highlighted scripture by the Holy Spirit. Write that down. O stands for, then make an observation. It could be only a paragraph or two, but make an observation of what it's saying. Then A stands for application. Write an application, a paragraph or two. How does that apply to your life? How will you be different today because of what you just read? And then P, prayer. You write out your prayer. And then you put it into your table of contents. Then you'll have a gem that will never be taken away from you. Let me finish with a little story. When I was in community college, I took a jazz class, and a great jazz guitar teacher. He'd teach us different scales, a blues scale and a minor scale, and we'd play it. There's a guy down in the front corner that was really slow, and so the teacher would have to work with him again and again, and we'd kind of have to wait until he got it, so the speed of the class was relegated to the slowest learner. Let's say, for example, this teacher was a legendary guitarist, like one that I enjoy, a man named Joe Pass. And let's say this teacher was Joe Pass, and after the class was done, Joe Pass would come to me and say, Wayne, I see potential in you as a guitarist, and I want to offer you an option to either take this class 1 hour a week, or, because I see potential, I will offer my services to you free of charge, and I will mentor you an hour a day on the guitar. I think, wow, that is no problem making that decision. Well, every day I'd sit with him and he'd teach me how to phrase certain runs and the arpeggios and different voicings on the guitar and how to do pull-offs and hammers-on and how to do all of these things. Well, I would take from him every day for a year. And it would be no more than a year where someone would hear me playing in concert. And they'd stop me. And you know what they'd say? They'd say, where did you learn guitar like that? Oh, I'd reply, I took a community college class 1 hour a week. Oh, you may have taken that, but you didn't learn that from that class. No, 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 no. I hear in you the voicings and the phrasing of a master guitarist named Joe Pass. No, you didn't learn that from a community college guitar class. You learned from the master. You got that from the master himself. And you see, there's such a huge difference between just going and attending church once a week and sitting at the feet of the master and learning from him. Because it won't be more than a year when people will hear you giving advice to your daughter or son or a person or a friend, and they'll stop you and they'll say, where did you get that insight from? Oh, I go to such and such a church. Oh, no, you might, but you didn't get it from just the church. You got that from the master. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. There's a big difference between being a churchgoer and a disciple who sits at his feet. And his disciples, that will change the world. And as you sit at his feet every day and develop a daily devotional time, you will begin to develop ears that hear. Amen. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Developing Ears That Can Hear by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope, heard each day at this time on this very fine station. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.